Bonjour, hi, welcome or welcome back to another Coffee Talk. For those of you who are not familiar with Coffee Talks, it's a series and a podcast I have where every Friday I sit down with a cup of coffee. I sip on it while I talk about different topics that have been on my mind for the past week, and this week is no exception. The people of TikTok have gaslighted me into thinking I would be into running and that running would be fun. I went for my first run in a while yesterday, actually. I think it had been like more than a year since the last time I went for a run. It was horrible. I hated it. I hated every minute of it. I don't know how the people of TikTok do it. I don't know how they made me think I was going to enjoy it, but I didn't. But obviously, and as always, this is not the topic of today's coffee talk. Today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different because I've been seeing a comment, or actually multiple comments that are pretty similar, and how the coffee talks have been kind of becoming their like big sister kind of thing. Like, it made them feel as though they were having a conversation with their big sister, they being the people who watch or who listen to the coffee talks. And to be honest with you, at first, the essence of the coffee talks was not really about that. It was more about like me talking and yapping and just speaking my mind. But in all honesty, if what I'm saying can resonate with some people or can make them relate to me, then so be it. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do something with it, might as well embrace the big sister thing. And so I hopped into Instagram and then I asked people to just ask me a bunch of questions so I can give them advice, so I can give them maybe a little bit of wisdom, or just questions and answers, and that's what we're doing today. And so this is the first episode of what I'm gonna call the Big Sister Sessions. So here we go. Although I do want to start off by saying that everything that I will be saying today, or any advice I might give, I will be speaking from personal experience, from my personal opinion. So you do with that information what you will, you take it or you leave it. But I'm just here to share maybe a little bit of insights and a little bit of wisdom and give you, I guess, my perspective on things. And if it resonates with you, good. If it doesn't, then so be it. Here we go. First question I got was actually in French, so I'm going to translate that for you. But it says, what advice would you give to somebody who's moving into their first apartment? That's actually a pretty good question, because I've been living in an apartment for what, almost like 6 years now. And to be honest with you, my experience was it happened very quickly. Like, I didn't plan it ahead, and I feel like everything went pretty smoothly because I didn't have a lot to move with. Like, I just had essentially what I needed for my bedroom, and so it wasn't that much of a struggle. But if I could give you one piece of advice, it would be to maybe like plan ahead. Obviously, maybe save a little bit of money, because, you know, usually when you move into your first apartment, this is when you become a little bit more independent financially, but also personally. And so I would say to save up a little bit of money, because you never know what can happen. You never know when you might need like a new, I don't know, a desk or mattress, or yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna say save up a little, have fun, and remind yourself that this is your first apartment. It's never gonna be as cute as you want it to be, but it's just about, you know, creating a new home, making it feel like home. You don't have to spend all this money on decoration and making it your, I mean, yes, you can make it your home, but you don't have to invest all of that money just to make it cute and beautiful. It's your first apartment. It's probably not going to be as cute as you want it to be, but that's, I think, the whole essence of a first apartment. It's a little hectic. It's a little messy. It's probably an old building, but that is what the charm of a new apartment is. You get excited about having your new place, and this is what you should focus on. Also, surround yourself with good friends and good family. Well, I mean, you don't really get to choose your family, but if you're close to your family, take advantage of them in the way that they're gonna want to help you move. So take that help. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and just enjoy the ride. It is an experience in itself. So I'd say just enjoy. Next question really resonated with me, so I'm really happy that that person asked. It says, how to be satisfied with what you have? I always compare myself to other people and I end up being sad. I actually talked about this in a previous coffee talk, all about comparing myself and how it affected my life for so long, and how I kind of learned how to not compare myself so much, or how to compare myself differently. And I think the answer is in the question. I think you have to focus on what you have, on what makes you you. And I know I mentioned that before, but I think it's normal for human beings to just compare ourselves, or even compare others amongst one another, because it is a way for us to understand what is around us and to get a better understanding of the world. But I think it is also important to recognize why you compare yourself. And instead of envying somebody for what they have or for what they are, which is probably something you are not or that you don't have, I think it's healthier to recognize why you're comparing yourself. And again, instead of envying, just maybe appreciate what they have, and then appreciate also what you have. Be grateful for what you have. I mean, we all have needs and desires, and it's completely human. And I think a lot of it also comes from the confidence that you have for yourself. I know it's easier said than done, but building that confidence within you is going to help you to compare yourself less, and to just enjoy who you are and what you have and what you bring to the table. Because often we are more critical with ourselves than we are with others. And so we hold ourselves to higher standards than we would with other people. And just be gentle with yourself. It's okay to have a bad day. You're not gonna always wake up looking extraordinary. Sometimes you might have a bad skin day. Sometimes you might have a bad hair day. But sometimes you also wake up and feel radiant, and so focus on that and be gentle with yourself. And yeah, I think that's the key. I got a little bit lost there, so I hope it's good advice, but again, just be grateful for what you have and appreciate what you have and recognize what you have, even if that's like making a list of what you have and what makes you you. Next question seems to be more about like what I do for a living. So for those of you who don't know, I'm a freelancer and a content creator. So I work on social media almost like 24/7. So the question is, how many hours a day do you work, and do you ever take full days off? I guess it really depends on what we would consider work. And from one day to another, it varies so much. Is recording this podcast work? To me, it doesn't feel like it, but it's still like an investment of time and energy towards a goal of mine that I have for my personal platforms. So if I do consider everything that I do for clients and for myself, I would say that I work around like 7 to 8 hours a day. But if I'm only considering what I do for clients, it would be more around like, I guess, 5 hours a day. I do try and take some days off, because I've learned this the hard way for the past year, that being my own boss is, it's easy at times, but it's also hard at times, because I am the only person I can rely on. And so if I need to get the job done, I'm the only one who gets it done. And so it can be easy to just brush it off and be like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna take tomorrow off, or I'm just gonna take a day off in like 2 weeks, and always postponing the time off. And so I think it's important, specifically in that situation, to plan when I do want to take some day off. And I think I've talked about this also in another previous coffee talk, how me and my sister have booked a trip a little later this fall, and if it had been from her, I don't think I would have booked the trip, because I would have been always thinking like, what if this and this happens? So yes, I do take some full days off sometimes, not often, because I typically work during the weekends as well, but I try to take some time to just put my brain to off and to just do things for myself, going outside, grabbing coffee, going to the gym, reading, resetting my life, you know, doing some chores, some laundry, but really taking a day off. I wish I could do it a little bit more, but at the same time, it comes and it goes. It's like very fluctuating depending on the time of the year and the time of the month as well. So there we go. Which leads us to the next question that is kind of in the similar field. It says, what is your favorite part about being self-employed? I enjoy the flexibility so much. I have the privilege of having flexibility with my clients, with my schedule, and I get to fill it up kind of the way that I want it. Obviously, to a certain extent, because I can't just do whatever the frick I want every single day and every single week. But if there's an event that I want to attend, if there's a project that I want to work on, I kind of build my schedule around those priorities and around what I want to do with my spare time, which is the part that I enjoy the most. I also really enjoy being creative, and I enjoy not having to report to anybody. It's like, it has its pros and cons in the way that I work by myself. And so again, if I mess something up, then it's on me and there's nobody to back me up. There's nobody to, you know, take my side. But on the opposite end, I kind of rely on myself only. So I don't have to get a second opinion. I don't have to, you know, get approval from a coworker. And it's just me and my thoughts and my creativity directly with the client. And that's something that I really enjoyed when I worked at agencies. I really enjoyed having the contact with the client. And there were some clients that I didn't have the contact with, and it bugged me because I like having conversations. I like exchanging, and I don't like having a third party telling me, like, you know, paraphrasing what a client would have said, because there's too much interpretation. And so having the full lead and having the full picture of what the task is my favorite part. And also, I get to do what I love for a living. This is my favorite part. Honestly, I am so thankful and grateful and privileged also, and lucky, I would say, to be doing what I do and to get to pay the bills with it. Obviously, I work towards it, but I feel like a lot of it is work. I mean, luck. It is work, but it's also luck. And this is what I enjoy the most. I enjoy the creativity and the flexibility. We're changing the topic a little bit because next question is how not to ghost someone. And this one made me laugh because this is actually from my sister, who has been kind of ghosted recently, not necessarily ghosted, but anyway, it's a recurring problem that we have. We either ghost or get ghosted. I try not to ghost anymore. I've talked about this again in a previous coffee. This is literally me just talking about previous things I've mentioned in coffee talks. But hey, it's good to, you know, circle back to it and freshen up the mind a little bit. But yeah, I've been ghosted several times in the past, and I have ghosted people also. I'm not proud of it, and I haven't ghosted anybody in the past 6 months, I would say, which is good. That's, you know, progress. But yeah, I think people... Okay, how can I put it? I feel like people are so used to ghosting, whether it's ghosting somebody or being ghosted, that it has become like this new standard, if that makes sense. But like, I want to believe in honesty. I want to just like really appreciate when somebody is blunt with me. I just like honesty. I like when people are frank with me, even though it might hurt my feelings or it might make me feel, I don't know, sad or frustrated. But, you know, there's no such thing as like, I just want people to be honest with me. And so that's what I do with others as well. I know they don't owe me anything and I don't owe them anything either. But hey, if it doesn't work out with somebody, there's a reason for it. And I would rather you tell me you're not interested in me than having to wonder what I have done wrong or what I said wrong. And just, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a little bit of an overthinker when it comes to relationships and when it comes to just like interpersonal relationships. But I would say just be blunt, be frank. Essentially, I'd say like how not to go someone, just don't do it. That's the way. That's my advice. You know, there's a way to say things. You just have to be frank. You don't have to be an asshole about it, but you can just be straight up. And if you have changed your mind about somebody, that's okay. If you're not interested anymore, that's okay as well. Like, that's what humans do. We adapt. They'll be fine. You'll be fine. And it's all gonna be fine. Just really be honest. Honesty is the key. And then last question, because I feel like we're running out of time a little bit here, is what would be your next goal? I have a few goals, but primarily, I'd say, growing my social media platforms, like my personal platforms. For the past 2 years, I'd say I've been able to grow a little community on my French TikTok account, but now I'm really trying to grow my English community. So whether that's here on YouTube or for the podcast or on my English TikTok account or even on Instagram, this is my main goal now. This is what I'm trying to focus on, really like creating content and make it a living for me. And it's a work in progress, obviously, but that would be my goal. So if we're talking numbers, let's be specific here. I think for YouTube, I would want to reach, I don't know, maybe like 5K. And then on Instagram, 5K as well. And when it comes to TikTok for my English account, I would say I've just reached 9K. So now I would want to go like 20K or something. And even on my French TikTok account, the 20K seems not that far, reachable. And yeah, if we're talking numbers, that's it. But honestly, it's, as I said, it's a work in progress. It takes time and consistency and effort, and it's not always going to pay off. And this is what social media is, and I'm well aware of that. But you know, patience is the key. And for anybody out here who is trying to grow their social media platforms, I think if you just commit to it, it's gonna end up paying off at the end. If you do what you love, if you're passionate about what you do, the people are going to feel it and they're going to appreciate your work for it. If you're authentic, if you're creative, there's always gonna be somebody there to, you know, relate with you and appreciate what you do. So this is your sign to start posting your silly little videos on any platform. Just enjoy it. We have one life to live, and eventually you're just going to look back at them and they're going to be memories. So anyway, I'm getting clearly lost in the sauce here. If you would like my advice on something for a next Big Sister session, please do leave it in the comments below for the next episode. And on that note, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you for watching or listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me. I truly, 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 truly mean it. Hopefully, I have made a little difference in your day today. If you would like to make a difference in mine, you know what to do. And I'm going to wish you a bonne journée.